Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's good to see me again.
Yes.
I thought I'd try and turn it around the other way, because I'm always glad to see you. So sometimes we have to learn to appreciate ourselves a bit as well. I want us to do some thinking this morning about difference. And difference, not so much in the sense of you're different to me or different colors, but difference in the sense of making a difference. Before I got into the retirement business, as it were, it's an interesting experience. Don't worry about it, Steve. I spent quite a lot of time involved in social work, and one of the things that I've had to be involved with is assessing people who want to be foster carers. And each time I talk with them and raise the question, what is it that is motivating you? What is it that makes you want to become a foster carer? The answers that come back to me frequently have been, well, we want to make a difference in the life of a child. We want to make a difference. We want to care for a child who hasn't been cared for, so that we can make a difference. And that theme is played out many times over, regardless of the different people that I see. That's the motivating factor. And then, in my mind, I say, right, I now need to talk you out of it. And the reason that I come to that conclusion that I need to talk them out of it is because when the advert goes out that says, we need foster carers, and many of you have probably seen some of the adverts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you got a spare room? That's one of the questions. Yeah. And what's the second question? Have you got a spare room? And can you care for a child, a vulnerable child? Are you willing to look after somebody who is disadvantaged? Yeah? Those are the two main things. And most people have this response in their head to think, I've got a spare room. I could look after a child. Yeah. So they put themselves forward. But the advert does not give the whole picture, the whole story. And many of the people who come forward actually don't know what they're getting into. They don't know what they're getting into. And sometimes I began to think that in our experience, in the Christian scenario, we put out the advert of a Jesus, a God of love. Do you need love? Do you need salvation? Do you need to be saved? Come to Jesus. And people say, yeah, I need love. I need to be saved. And they come. And they come to the church or the religion or the faith or whatever. And their experience, they don't know what they're getting into. They really don't know what they're getting into. And suddenly they come and they walk away. But unfortunately, in some many situations, they haven't met Jesus. Why? Because sometimes when we're putting out the advert, we're not telling the whole story. Growing up, there are lots of things that I came to know, I came to learn. And one of the shocking experiences that I have had in my life is having to go to my children and apologize for many of the things that I've been teaching them. You understand me? Yeah? How many times have you apologized to Steve?
Yes.
Just once.
Once. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's an experience when you think about how many things that you've told them. Our children, those of us who are parents, because that's what we believed growing up. And once we have believed it, we hold on to it. And one of the things that I think, in terms of difference, is that sometimes we need to just take that step back and stop worrying about our belief or our religion. And don't worry about changing your belief or your religion. And that goes for people who aren't here, who share your views. That they don't need to worry about changing their beliefs. And that seems strange when you think that, sometimes when we think about the families that we work with, that we live around, and the estates, and you think, they need to change their beliefs. But no, I've come to realize it's not the beliefs that we need to think about changing. There's a saying that we shouldn't act based on our shoe size. We should act on how old we are, our ages. Yeah? Act your age and not your shoe size. Yeah, we've said that, haven't we? And that comes into mind that what we need to look at is about the effect of maturity. Because that's what the age thing brings. As you grow older, you have more experience and you mature. But those of us who stick to our shoe size, it never changes once it's reached to a certain level. Are you following me? So, the difference. Instead of focusing on our beliefs, our religion, our faith, to look at changes, to make a difference, we need to actually think about our mind rather than the belief. Sometimes you make a decision, allegedly you've made the decision, and then something happens and you say, hang on. And then somebody asks, well, what happened? I thought this. I thought you said. I thought you promised. And then you say what? What do you say?
I'm sorry,
but
I've changed my mind.
Changed my mind. And it's that makes all the difference. Changing your mind. What is it that makes you change your mind? It's coming to understand something that, or realizing something that you didn't realize before. Are you following me?
Yes.
And when it comes to God, what we learn to understand about God is that He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is omnipresent, everywhere at the same time. And omnipotent, all-powerful. There is nothing that God does not know. But the realization that we need to come to so that we can make a difference is that we are not God. We are not all-knowing. So therefore, some of the decisions that we make and the choices and the plans are based on the limited knowledge and understanding that we had at that time. And we need to leave room to change our mind. Because when we mature, as we grow, there's going to be new information, greater experience that opens us up to say, I didn't realize. And in the birth of that realization, you come to that road where it forks and you can change your mind, your plans, your decision. Isn't that beautiful? Imagine that you have made a decision or a plan and you come to the realization that it's wrong. It's the wrong decision. It's the wrong path. And then you can't change your mind. Where does that leave you? You can't change your mind. But you set out. And when we are young, we make those kind of plans, don't we? We make those kind of decisions and those choices. And we say, this is it. Yeah? And if I have this, I won't need anything else. This is it. If I buy this house, I know it's a big decision, but this is the right decision for me. And I'm going to live here for the rest of my life. Yeah? And then imagine 10, 20 years down the line, and you can't change your mind. What about those people who have said, I'm a fool? Because the fool had said where? In his heart there is. Imagine having made that decision and you can't change your mind. Where does that leave you? Where does it leave you? But God, who is rich in mercy. So as growing up, this idea of changing your mind. So I began to realize that there are things that I learned from my childhood, growing up as a young person, becoming an adult. There are things that I believed. And if my mindset was like some of the people that I know, that we might describe as being narrow-minded, and they have mindset as in concrete. You know, that it's been done, and once it's been set, even taking a chisel and a hammer is hard work, and it's not going to make a change. What you have to do is to scrap it all and start again. And if I took that view, how on earth will I be able to make a difference in my life and in yours if I have a mindset without having all the information? So, it's an interesting experience when we look at relationships. Because how many times have we thought about a relationship whereby we get on well with people? What's your relationship with your mom like? What's your relationship with your dad like? What's your relationship with your sister, your brother, your cousin, your friend, your best friend? What's the relationship like? And the response that we often get is, we get on well. We get on great together. Because we don't really fight. There isn't a problem. But I want to know what the relationship is really like. What actually goes on? Well, my mom was a lovely person. She always baked cakes. I remember that. Yeah? No, but what was the relationship like? Well, she always took me to school and made sure I did my homework. I understand that. But what was the relationship like? What are you asking me? It's fine. And I believe it's fine. And that's enough for me. But it's not enough for me, because I want to know. And if we're going to talk about our relationships with one another, we also need to understand what our relationship is like with God. And many times in the churches, we talk about this idea of having a close relationship with Jesus, a close relationship with God. And we say, well, what does that mean? Help me to understand and to see what you're talking about when you say you have this good relationship with God. Help me to see that. Well, we get on fine because God loves me. Yeah? And He provides for me. But everybody says that. Well, what is it about you and God that you can tell me that I can understand that you have a relationship? See, one of the things about the childhood is that it's a one-way street. Because in the relationship, we don't have, as children, we don't have to relate to the parents, the mothers and fathers, the grandparents, aunts and uncles who care for us. We don't have to relate to them because they're doing all the work. Are you with me? They're doing all of the work. They watch you, And they make judgments about when you're safe and when you're not safe, right? Do you have to worry about being safe and not being safe? No, you don't. They're doing all the work, all the hard work. And when we look at our lives and God in heaven looks down, who is omniscient and knows everything and sees us all, He is doing all the hard work. And all we have to do is to reach up for the blessings that keep coming down. But when the question comes, what's your relationship like? Relationship is always two ways. And while God is relating, you have to relate too. But you see, as we move beyond our shoe size and we add the years to our experience, things change. Because experience brings new learning, understanding. And as we grow older, it isn't until oftentimes we become in the situation that our parents are in, where we have children of our own and become parents. We become mothers and fathers, or aunts and uncles, and have nephews and nieces that we care about, and we begin to work. When we begin to reflect, we can then begin to think about our relationship to others who have cared for us. Come on now. And it's at those times that we begin to reflect and actually recognize the person for who they are. And it brings a sense of importance. And if we had a conversation with those people at that time of reflection, it would be very different to when we were growing up as children. Because what happens is that we come to that road where we can have a mind change. Because suddenly we begin to realize and appreciate things that we didn't see before. So that when you walk up to that person and you throw your arms around them and you hug them, there is a meaning in that hug that was never there when you were 10. And it's amazing. And you don't have to say anything. Somehow, there is a communication going on. And you can just hear the cogs rolling in the mind of the other person. And then you begin to sense the question that comes to their mind. What brought this on? Some of you might have been there. When you get that hug, you feel and sense that they now realize who you are. And they ask, what brought this on? And imagine when you meet Jesus, you throw your arms around Him, you hug Him, and you don't say a word. Because you're now in the position to make a difference. Difference in your mindset. What we've got to do is to break down that concrete where we have set our minds and this is it. And we become open-minded to learning and understanding about this great God who is so big and with so much knowledge that you can't contain Him, you can't contain it. But you, and I for that matter, can grow in Him and in His knowledge. And suddenly, the world looks different. The world feels different. You see things differently. And you become different. And it's amazing that other people can see that you're different. And then begin to talk. Hey, have you seen so-and-so? They're different. I wonder what's made them different. And they begin to talk to you. But they don't just talk as in yabba. They're talking, but they're asking questions. What made you different? But they don't just say, what made you different? They ask the question in roundabout ways. You still believe in God? Maybe that's got something to do with it. Begin to ask those questions. So, what are you doing nowadays? Tell me something that I can understand, that there's something that's making you different. Because they don't really understand. And you don't know that you are different. And but people begin to tell you, after a while they develop a confidence and they come to you and say, you know, you're different. And you think, am I? But you are. You are. And I began to think about that whole concept of the mind change, not the belief change, the mind change. Because once you change your mind, that's what's going to make the difference. And what happens is that as a church, as an organization, we need to have a mind change, a big mind change. Because we've been so steeped into the idea of religion and beliefs and faith that we don't actually look at the practicalities of our relationship with God. And let's understand that when Moses went up to the mountain and he was having this conversation with God, and God had looked down, seen how the people were behaving. Come on. And God thought, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to take any more. And he says to Moses, move out of the way, let me kill them. And Moses said, you can't. I won't let you. And at first, it looks as if Moses has this love for the people. He cares so much about the people that he's willing to risk his own life standing in front of God to protect those people. But that's not the truth of it. He was protecting God. He says, look, man, if you were to do that, what would people say? Because you're not like that. And Moses had moved well beyond his shoe size and grown up to have this understanding about God. Because before the burning bush experience, he didn't know. Before he had reached Midian, he thought of himself maybe as the next Pharaoh, or certainly high in the government. And he had power and situation. There are things that he could do because of his position in the country. But when he had to run from Egypt and got to Midian, suddenly realized he was a nobody. Then he had the burning bush experience, standing in the presence of God. And he had to have that mind change. Everything that he believed before didn't count because he had a mind change. And we see the difference. So now Moses understands. And he says to God, look, how will the people see you if you behave contrary to how we know you are? So what becomes interesting is, here we are as Christians, and we promote this idea of salvation. That people need to be saved. And when we are talking in the Christian context of people needing salvation and being saved, question, what is it that they're being saved from? Question, what's the answer? From sin. Yeah. However, let's look at how the church presents that. Because you call the people and you say to them, look, you need salvation. But when the church calls us, we find ourselves running from God. Because we need salvation from God. So let's look at how that actually plays out. The first thing I'm going to say to you is, you've come to me because I'm the church, right? Yeah. And as the church, I'm telling you, you need salvation. Why do you need salvation? Because Jesus is coming. And when he comes, he's going to come with power and wrath. And he's going to bring hellfire. And if you're not ready, what's going to happen to you? So we present this idea that, you know, if you don't get your act together, Jesus will come. And when he comes, woe betide you. And here we are saying, we are calling people to be saved from sin. But actually we are saying, we're going to save you from God's wrath. And we join the other people because we haven't grown beyond our shoe size to be like Moses on the mountain having the conversation with God to say, God, you're not like that. And God is saying, I'm calling you to peace and joy and love and all these wonderful things. And here's the church standing up saying the very opposite, because we are presenting God just like we talk about Zeus in Greek mythology. Just having a handful of bolts of lightning ready to throw them down on the poor sinners. Come on. Do you think we need a mind change as a church? There needs to be a shift in the way we present them. Because if we are encouraging people to think that they are running from the wrath of God, then what was Jesus saying when he was hanging on the cross? What was the point of him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? If all that he could think about is, when I come back. You see me hanging up here. Don't worry, in a little while, I'll be back.
2 minutes.
Well, you've been watching those kind of things too. I'll be back. And when I come, and here we are. You know, we put on our nice fronts because we are Christians. And the halo to glow because we are wonderful people. We show love. We invite them in so they can have breakfast with us. And tell them, we're going to save you from the wrath of God. What's made a difference for us? How do we become in control that we can say to God, leave that person alone? Because I've now judged. You see, they've come into the church and they're now giving their tithes. Amen. Isn't that right? So you leave them alone because they've come into the church and they're not smoking cigarettes anymore or the other stuff. They've come into the church and we begin to list all the things to show how they've changed. And because we have seen that change, we now judge or deem them to be fine and candidates for heaven. So you leave them alone and we have saved them from the wrath of God. And Jesus comes, and then the question is, while you are saving them, who's saving you? Who's saving you? So I want us to make a difference. Not a difference like answering the advert, do you have a spare room? Can you care for a vulnerable child? The difference I want us to think about that we're making, a difference in the way that I think. And the way that I walk and live my life. Because Jesus has revealed things to me, about the world that I'm living in, that I didn't realize before. And because of his mercy and grace, I'm in a position to change my mind. Because I didn't understand before. But now that I've matured by God's grace, I can make a difference in my thinking, in my behavior, as I allow the beauty of Jesus and his revelations to impact my mindset so that it doesn't become set, but becomes a mind where there's a lot of thinking and growth and development that's going on. I can be a proper witness of the God of creation. May God help us to experience that change that only he can effect on us.